Today is the fourth Sunday after Easter. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction this evening. Monday, tomorrow, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Thursday will be the holy hour with the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, and that's at 7 p.m. Next day is the first Friday, and the Mass will be at 8:30, followed by possibly a conference and the Rosary. This is also the first Saturday coming up, and that Mass is at 8:30 a.m. Next Sunday, May 6th, is First Communion Sunday, and the Mass will be at 9 a.m. Next Sunday, Mass is at 9 a.m. And that is followed by a reception in the hall. Don't forget. Please pick up your cooking containers, dishes, and lost and found items from the cabinets in the classroom. There are some feasts this week that are important. Today is the feast of St. Peter of Verona. We know that some of you have heard his story before, and we do not intend to tell you his whole story now, but we will just mention a few things to you because he is an important saint. We would suggest you pray to him today for anything that you need. He was a great miracle worker, and especially from his relics, many, many people have received favors. He received his habit from St. Dominic when he was just a boy, about 15 years old, and he received the habit from St. Dominic. Unfortunately, he lost his great patron, St. Dominic, soon, because St. Dominic died soon after that. So this young man, who his superiors determined had never committed a mortal sin, retained his baptismal innocence. And so he became a priest, and he was such a holy man and such a great preacher that he was converting all of these heretics, the Manichees, who lived in this area, northern Italy. And they determined that he needed to die, and so they put him to death. And you remember the story that we have heard so many times, that he, when he was dying, after the final blow, he was dying, and he took his finger and dipped his finger in his blood and wrote, "Credo, I believe." And then he died. And he was canonized almost immediately. But we mention him to you because of his innocence, and so that you will pray to him. But also just one other thing, and that is that the way he kept his innocence, it is said, is by staying busy. Remember, that's one of the ways we resist temptation, remaining occupied with work or play when we are tempted. And that's what he did. He stayed busy all the time. He was always praying or working. That's what we wanted you to know about St. Peter of Verona. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Catherine of Siena. Tuesday is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. First class feast. Come to Mass if you can. Wednesday is the feast of St. Athanasius, who's special for all of us because of his adherence to the true faith in the midst of so many heretics in his time. Remember, 80% of the church was lost to Arianism. 80%. On Thursday is commemoration of St. Alexander and his companions and St. Juvenal. Friday is the feast of St. Monica. And on Saturday is the feast of our great patron, St. Pius V, who, so to speak, canonized our Mass. He did not give us this Mass. This Mass was given to us by our Lord and Savior and the Apostles. But St. Pius V made it so that if anybody changed it, they would be anathema. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from Epistle of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will, he has begotten us by the word of truth, that he might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creation. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Please stand for the gospel. Holy gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 16, verses 5 to 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of justice, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Before we forget, this epistle in which St. James says the wrath of man does not work the justice of God, we remind you again that he's not condemning anger, but the sin of anger. How could he be condemning anger when our Lord and Savior became angry? Son of God and the saints became angry. As a matter of fact, our Lord became violent, remember? Took a whip and whipped those men in the synagogue who were selling and buying things. So he's not condemning anger. Just the sin. Remember, it says, sacred scripture says, be angry and do not sin. So anger is a good thing, brethren. It's a great thing. So today, we are looking forward to, as this liturgy is all about it, today's Mass, it's all about Pentecost Sunday. We are looking forward to this great feast, and we are preparing for it. We are doing just as the apostles and the disciples of Christ did. Our Lord and Savior was preparing them himself, warning them that he was going to go back to heaven, that he was going to leave them. He says, you're not even asking me where I'm going, because you're so sad. So he was purifying them, preparing them for this great coming of the Holy Ghost upon them. By his prayers, first of all, and secondly, by his words, everything was for this feast. We should be doing the same thing. He was preparing them by bringing their love to him, bringing their thoughts to him and to heaven, teaching them to hate this world, because there is nothing in it that is worth anything. Nothing in this world has any value whatsoever. It will all vanish. You will not vanish, but everything else will. Because when you die, you will leave everything behind you. It will just be you and God. And if you love him enough, you will fly to him, fly into his arms. If you don't love him quite enough, you will cast yourself into purgatory. If you are not in the state of grace, you will cast yourself into hell. If we are wise, we are preparing for this great feast also. By our prayers, by our desires, so that when the Father of lights, as St. James calls the Blessed Trinity, when the Father of lights comes to us, we will be able to receive him as he desires. He has a great desire to come to us, infinite love for us, each one of us. We should have an equal desire to receive him. And if we desire him, as we should, more than anything else in the world, then he will give us all of the grace that he has prepared for us, the Father of lights. He has given us everything, hasn't He? Every gift, everything except sin comes from God. He's given us our intellect so that we can know Him. And He's given us all of these other graces, our virtues, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the Holy Ghost, and the greatest of them all, the Beatitudes. He is called the Father of Lights, partially because St. James is comparing Him to the sun. And so he says, there is no change or shadow of alteration in Him. He's talking about the sun, because when the sun goes over, we see the sun is moving, it's changing, because of the shadows. And so he says, God does not change at all. It's always infinitely perfect, always has been, always will be. We tend to think this is a great revelation, but once again, Aristotle concluded that there was no change in God, that He was absolutely, infinitely perfect. Because if God can change, then He is not God. He's not perfect. He cannot become any better than He is. That's the first thing. Second reason there is no change in Him, the second way in which there is no change, is in His relation to us. Because He always loves all of us, not equally, but He always loves all of us sufficiently. And He offers His grace to us, always the same. And if we commit a sin, no change. He still loves us the same, and He still offers us His grace. Change is in us. After we commit the sin, then we hate Him. Awful words. Frightening words. That's what happens to us. We hate God when we sin. God forbid. And St. Thomas says that, you remember when our Lord and Savior speaks about the sins of the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. Remember that? That's not because God has no mercy on those sinners. God offers His grace to everyone, even sinners who sin against the Holy Ghost. So, how is it, maybe you remember, we've told you this before, how is it that those sins will never be forgiven? It's not because God is not infinitely merciful in that particular case. St. Thomas says it's us. We are the problem, because we will not ask for forgiveness. Never. We refuse His offer. Imagine that. Is that not frightening? So, God always offers us His grace. And this includes all men. We've told this, just repeat briefly, that not only is He offers His grace constantly, but He wills the salvation of all men. So once again, He does not change from one person to another. He offers sufficient grace to all men. Some refuse. It is true that he offers more grace to some, but he is free to do that. That is not a change in him, because his grace is available to all. Some he loves more than others. Many people don't like to hear that, but the fact is God is free as we are free to choose. God is free also. They would have him bound to love us all the same. So if anyone is lost, it is his own fault. And if anyone is saved, it is because God has saved him. You remember that. Always he does it. He always treats us through prayer. This is the language of God. So it is like someone taking the little toddler and holding him and moving him so that he may walk. So God offers us the prayer, and then he answers our prayer. Offers us a prayer, answers it. That's God's language. If we are not praying, we are not speaking to God. We are not speaking in his language. This is why it is important to pray always, because we are not speaking to him if we are not praying. We also have a grave obligation, you remember, to pray for others because they have not been given the gifts that you and I have been given. We have been made rich, have we not? And what obligation it is ours to share our riches with others, since that was why we have been given them. So that we may help others. Grace for grace. We have to pray especially for the church, for fellow Catholics, but also for the rest of the world. Serious obligation, brethren. And so we repeat that on Pentecost Sunday, if we have a great desire more than anything else in the world. Remember, where your treasure is, there also is your heart. Words of Christ. So, where is your treasure? Is your treasure in heaven? Is that where your heart is? If that is where your heart is, then on Pentecost Sunday, we can be made saints, just as the apostles and disciples were 2,000 years ago. This is his purpose. He will come down on us in a special way on that day, depending upon how much we desire him. It's the feast of love, and he is the person of love. He's coming to give greater love to us. Do not think that that is not for you. When we first came to the seminary, was an old priest there, and he would ask us questions, and we would say, "I don't know." And he would say, in anger, good anger, he would say, "Do not plead ignorance. You know." So, brethren, we say to you, do not plead ignorance. Do not plead inability, because Holiness is for each one of you. That's self-deception. Some years ago, we were speaking to a lady who had lost her faith. We were trying to explain some things to her. And she said, "That's too difficult for me to understand. That's beyond me." And some years later, she had forgotten. We spoke to her again. She had forgotten our earlier conversation, and so she explained to us how she lives, how she survives. Some years prior to this conversation, she had a little money, and so she studied the stock market, and she made a small fortune. Now, we don't know if any of you have studied the stock market, but to make a small fortune is no small miracle in the stock market. That's not for us to make money on, that's for other people. So she had the intelligence to make a small fortune in the stock market, but not to understand the basic truths of faith. Don't deceive yourselves, brethren. And pray for her. So this is why we are here. You remember, we are here for love. Because of love. Remember, God is love. Remember that? That's what has existed from all eternity. Love. The only thing. And God created us for love. Love created us. Because he wanted us to love him in return. That's the only reason we exist. The only one. It's the only thing that will continue in heaven. Of all that we have on earth. So, remember, faith, hope, and charity. And so charity is the only one that continues in heaven, because in heaven, we have no faith anymore. We see God. We don't need to believe. He's right here. We don't even see him through an image. He is in us. He's one with us. And that is the greatest act in heaven, the highest function in heaven is our intellect. We see God through our mind. But secondarily, we love him with the virtue of love. So it's the only one that continues. We don't have any hope anymore because we're already there. No more hope. Just love. So what we have for God now, we have in heaven. This is why he made us, just for love. Saint Gregory says that love cannot exist between less than two persons. Properly speaking, we cannot have charity for ourselves. It must be for another. And it is self-destructive love. We always love when we do love truly. We love the other more than ourselves. think about it. Who here does not love someone that without even thinking, maybe you love everybody like that, good for you, without even thinking, he will give his life for the other person, without thinking. That's true love. That's how we love God. Some have said, confused people, that we love God because it's good for us to do so. Very confused people. We love God for his own sake. Remember, love, they even say virtue is its own reward. But this is true above all for love. And we are hoping that you will see this. Even, we're talking about, by the way, when we said would give his life for the other person, that's human love. It's almost divine, isn't it? Who would not give his life for someone else that he loves? Without thinking, that's human love. Because even if you're not Catholic, you can love someone that you would automatically give your life. You can see how great this virtue is because it points to God, doesn't it? That there is something greater than we are. Even humanly speaking. And so we hope that you can see this and the importance of prayer and desire for God and preparation for this feast of love when we can be made like God, like love, through this great feast. And the Holy Ghost will turn us into himself. May God bless you.